2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 7. But just as you excel in everything, and the word excel has two ideas. Number one, to grow, and number two, to overflow the boundaries. So Paul says, just as you are continually growing, it's a present tense, and just as you are overflowing the boundaries in everything, and then he names the everything. You are growing in faith. You are excelling in speech. You are overflowing the boundaries in knowledge. You're continually growing in complete earnestness. You're going beyond and excelling in your love for us. See that you also grow and overflow the boundaries in this, three words, grace of giving. And may the Lord add his blessing to this, the reading of his word. Let us pray. Father, as we look into your word, I pray that you would give us wisdom, that you would give us understanding, and that you would give us insight. May we take the principles of your word and apply them to our lives in a very personal way. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, we pray. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapters 8 and 9 contain the longest passage on the subject of money in the entire Bible. And the theme of those chapters is the idea that we are stewards of the financial and material resources that God gives us. The key word, it occurs 10 times in these two chapters, is the word grace. G-R-A-C-E, the word grace. And the underlying principle that governs our relationship to material resources, the foundation, the underlying governing principle, is grace. In the Old Testament, people gave 10%. It was the law. It was an obligation. It was a requirement. It was obedience to God's law. People gave. However, for us, giving is not obedience to a law, to a regulation, to a percentage, to a governing concept, but rather our giving is responding to the grace of God. We looked in verse 9 at the model of giving, which is the grace of Christ. Look for a moment at verse 9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, he is God. Yet for your sakes, for Ed Dobson's sake, he became poor, so that through his poverty, including the cross, Ed Dobson might become rich. Jesus Christ is the model and motivation of our giving. Jesus Christ gave himself voluntarily, left the riches of heaven, came to earth, died on the cross, was buried, and rose again, so that we who are poor spiritually, through the poverty of Jesus, might become rich. So the model of giving is Jesus. Notice in the second place, the enablement or the strength and power of giving, which again is grace. Chapter 8, verse 1. And now, brothers, we want you to know about the grace, notice, that God has given. Here the word grace refers to enablement, to power, and to strength. He says, brothers, we want you to know about the power or the strength or the enablement that God has given to the Macedonian churches. Look at chapter 9, verse 8. And God is able to make all grace, all power, all strength, all enablement abound to you, so that in all things at all times, having all you need, you will abound in every good work. Look at verse 14 of chapter 9. And in their prayers for you, their hearts will go out to you because of the surpassing grace. Again, the idea of power or strength or enablement. Because of the surpassing power, enablement, and strength that God has given you. This suggests to us that our giving is enabled, is empowered by grace. You see, in the Old Testament, they would kind of throw their offering in the plate and be released of an obligation. It was something that they were required to do. But giving for us is uniquely different. It is not something that we do in the power and the arm of the flesh. But rather, it is God's grace, His enabling power, His enabling strength flowing through us that gives us the strength and power to give. You say, well, what do you mean by that? What do you mean that the enablement, the power, and the strength of giving is grace? Simply this, that when it comes to the stewardship of financial resources, when it comes to the idea of giving, it is not a mathematical formula like the Old Testament, but rather it is first of all the yielding of myself completely and totally to God. Filled with His Holy Spirit, I ask the question, and I'm amazed at how few Christians ask the question. And the question is this, Lord, what do You want me to give? You see, for most Christians, the question they ask is, what should I give? What's the formula? What's the percentage? What should I give? What can I afford? What ought I to do? And it is a very self-centered question. What should I do? But the giving of grace is the recognition that it is not me who does the giving, but it is God who does the giving through me. It is God's grace, God's power, God's enablement flowing through my life. And therefore, the most critical question of all is, dear God, what do You want me to give? In fact, look at chapter 9, verse 7. I think this is precisely what Paul is talking about in chapter 9, verse 7. Each man or each woman should give what he or she has decided in their what? In their heart to give. Not reluctantly, or under compulsion, not under the law, not under a sense of obligation, not reluctantly, well, this is what I got to do, so I'll do it and get it over with. Not at all. God loves a cheerful giver. Giving enabled by the grace of God is a giving that says, God, what do You want me to give? What do You want me to sacrifice? And I will decide not under compulsion, not by a law, not by someone who comes to me and says, now because you make this much money and because our budget is this much, it is therefore your obligation for the next 12 months to support the budget with X amount of dollars. That's compulsion. That's obligation. That is reluctant. The grace of giving is such that having yielded myself to the Lord, I place all of my resources before God. And I say, God, what do You want me to give? And as I read the scriptures, and as I pray, And as I yield to the Holy Spirit, God reveals to me through His Spirit and by the enabling power of His grace deep in my heart, where it is between me and God, God says, this is what I want you to give. The enablement of giving. Notice number 3. The opportunity of giving. Chapter 8, verse 4. They urgently pleaded with us for the privilege, and the word privilege is the word grace. They urgently pleaded with us for the grace or the gracious privilege of sharing koinonia, joint participation in this service to the saints. Notice the privilege of giving. Giving is not only modeled after Jesus Christ and His grace. Giving is not only my response to the enablement of God. Giving also is a gracious opportunity and privilege of doing what? Of participating together in the service of the saints. Now, I want you to think about that. When I put my money in the offering plate of Calvary Church, number one, it is a privilege, a gracious opportunity. And it is a privilege not just to give, but that through my giving, I become a joint participant in the work of God. In other words, as I give, as I respond to God's grace and give of my material resources, I become a participant together with the people and the ministries and the outreach of this church around the world. I heard Richard DeVos a couple of years ago at a fundraising activity for a Christian organization. He said something that I'd never thought of, and that I will never forget. He said, oftentimes business people in particular have this tremendous sense of guilt in regard to the kingdom of God around the world. Because God has blessed them with material resources, they give those material resources. But there's the underlying feeling that I ought to do more. That I ought to be involved, I ought to get involved, I ought to work as well as give. And he said this, and I'd never thought of it. That when you give of your material resources, you are essentially giving of your work. That you have worked to earn those resources. And while you may not go to South Africa, your giving of your resources is indeed the giving of your work and your effort and your gifts and your abilities to the kingdom of Christ. So it's more than dropping a check in the offering plate. Giving is the gracious privilege of giving of my work and my effort and my ability and my resources as a fellow participant in the kingdom of Christ around the world. Notice in the fourth place, the nature of giving. And this is perhaps the most important thought in these two chapters. That giving is literally an act of grace. Look at chapter 8, verse 6. So we urge Titus, since he had earlier made a beginning, to bring also to completion. Now he's speaking of giving. This act of grace on your part. Verse 7, as you excel in everything, excel in this, the grace of giving. The nature of giving is such that the giving of my material resources is essentially an act of grace. Now, we understand what an act of grace is in terms of salvation. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. For by grace are you what? Saved. We understand God's grace extended to us in salvation. That God, because He is a gracious God, extends His grace to us through Jesus Christ. God's act of grace. But what Paul is saying here is significant. He is saying that when I give and when you give and when we give together in response to God's grace, like God who in grace gives salvation, we likewise in our giving are demonstrating an act of grace. In what sense? So that through our giving, listen carefully, the grace of God that saves and encourages and sustains can be expanded around the world. That's why our offering is part of our worship. It's not an obligation. You write the check, get it over with, get rid of your obligation. It is an act of worship because in the giving of our material resources, we are extending an act of grace so that the grace of God can touch the lives of people around the world. And then notice in the last place, our response to giving. The last verse of chapter 9, verse 15. Thanks be to God. The word thanks is charis. Grace be to God. Thanks be to God for His indescribable gift. When I understand Jesus Christ as the model of all giving, and I understand that His grace enables me to give, and I understand that giving is a gracious privilege of standing shoulder to shoulder with the servants of Christ around the world. And I understand that my act of worship and my act of giving is essentially an act of grace. My ultimate bottom line response will be, grace be to God. In fact, in these two chapters, Paul thanks two groups. One, he thanks the Macedonian churches for the generosity they demonstrated in the midst of suffering. And number two, he thanked God for His indescribable gift. And so Paul says in chapter 8, notice in closing, the end of verse 7, see that you excel in this grace. See, number one, that you grow. Can I ask you, are you growing in the grace of giving? Maybe you've never set aside, in response to God and His grace, consistently, weekly, or whenever you get paid, a sum of money as God leads you to give to the furtherance of His kingdom. May I suggest that you're missing out on a wonderful blessing? The gracious privilege of joint participation with God in the working out of His kingdom here on earth. May I suggest that you're missing out on a wonderful act of worship? The act of God's grace, the privilege of giving. The word also means to overflow the boundary. And let me speak to those of us who do set aside money consistently for the support of Christ's kingdom. The question I want to ask Ed Dobson, are you growing in the grace of giving? Number two, are you overflowing the boundaries in rich, sacrificial generosity for the kingdom of God here on this earth? Let's bow our heads together for prayer. Our Father, we are thankful for your indescribable gift, Jesus Christ. For your enabling grace. For the privilege of participation in your kingdom through giving. For this act of grace. For the joy that you give us. When in contrast to the philosophy of the world, we let go instead of grabbing. And I pray by your Spirit that you would speak to each of our lives personally and individually in regard to our individual response to your grace. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, we pray. Amen.